NFL Inside Report is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. I'm Rhett Lewis, and this is NFL Inside Report. One game left, a super wild card weekend. Rams and Cardinals vying for the opportunity to play the Tampa Bay Bucks in Tampa. But we had some really interesting and intriguing storylines through the first few games of super wild card weekend. And for that, we welcome in our NFL Network insider, Ian Rappaport. Ian, welcome. Glad to have you aboard here. Let's start with the final game of the weekend, which is our first ever Monday night game of wildcard weekend right here at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, the Rams hosting the Cardinals. Cardinals, who could get J.J. Watt back tonight.
Hey, I need you to be great today.
I got you.
You have everything you need to be great. I need you to be great today. Fly around. Reckless abandon.
Tannehill takes, give to Henry. Hit in the backfield by J.J. Watt, who got off a block and drags him down.
Practiced in a very limited basis, sounded like this week. I mean, it's kind of miraculous we're even talking about this, right? Like, how likely is it that we actually see Watt in some way, shape, or form tonight?
I would describe it as very likely, and it really is amazing. So, you know, I probably heard, let's say, 2 or 3 weeks ago that, you know, like, don't say anything, but kind of keep an eye on J.J. Watt because he's really progressing and you never know. And, you know, so I'm sort of getting stuff ready for last week. And I'm thinking about different storylines and what I want to talk about. And I'm like, oh, right, J.J. So I'm trying to get things together. And I'm talking to sources. And first I hear that even before last week, he's doing defensive line drills. Hasn't been cleared yet. But he's doing defensive line drills, and I'm like, okay, like, this is definitely a thing. And I know it's only 2 months after surgery to repair a torn labrum, torn rotator cuff, torn bicep. You know, his shoulder basically went out the back of his shoulder, which is just scary. And if you ever watch the hit, like, he falls, and then it looks like all the pressure really does go kind of back toward his back. So it's right. Really like a crazy thing.
Basically, what happened was the shoulder dislocated out the back, took everything with it on the way out. Rotator cuff, labrum, capsule, infraspinatus, everything gone. And also dislocated my bicep tendon in the process.
You know, basically, like, he was kind of getting ready to play. And so I'm planning to report it last Sunday. And then the team activates him on a Friday, which is just weird. It was very annoying. And you're sort of like, okay, like, he's...
Here it goes. You know,
he opens his practice window, like, this guy's definitely going to play. And the reason why he's going to play is basically because he knows his body so well, and he understands kind of what he's dealing with so well. And this is the case for, like, really, really, really elite athletes.
Yeah.
So he can basically push himself so hard, like, harder than you could ever imagine, because he knows that he's not doing any damage because he knows his body so well.
I got surgery on November 3rd, and we just went to work on rehab, just doing whatever I was allowed to do, pushing where we were allowed to push, and trying to do whatever we could every single day, from treatment to workouts to little movements to nutrition and sleep and whatever possible to get back as fast as I possibly could.
Whereas, like, for me, like, you know, if I stretch, like, further than I should, like, I'm pulling the hamstring and I'm not going to be on the Peloton for a while. Like, Watt knows exactly how far to push, so he's able to work a little bit harder than most.
I mean, is it truly where, like, every minute and every hour actually matters? Whereas Cliff Kingsbury was saying, we're going to take this thing right up to the wire. We're like, you know what I mean? Like,
they know. And, you know, look, Cliff Kingsbury's done a good job this year. He's got his team in the playoffs. That's great.
Yeah.
He has not always been exactly upfront when it comes to injuries. I mean, he said Kyler Murray was a game time decision. I think it was 4 weeks in a row, and he only played the fourth week. And the first three, he had zero chance. So, you know, I mean, if you follow JJ Watt on Twitter, you will see a perfectly crafted hype video about, I don't know, in the 10:30 range Eastern time, where I think it's Watt in the jungle. And then he's kind of like, you know, scraping along, and then it's a couple hits, and then it's a hit where he lands on his shoulder, and then it's hits of him, like, the doors open. And anyway, he's playing. So, yeah.
Got it. So in addition to J.J. Watt coming back for the Cardinals tonight, Eric Weddle, not only coming back for the Rams, coming out of retirement to come back for the Rams, like how much was this move like completely kind of off the radar and out of the blue with both of their starting safeties banged up here for the Rams?
Yeah, it's amazing what teams can do when they sort of have to, like how creative right. they get. You know, the Rams are certainly among the most creative, because they had no other option and they said, all right, well, who do we have? And, you know, you have a big list and then it's like, well, give me the other list and give me the other list. And what about this guy?
The retired list, please.
Yeah, give me the retired list. And the fact that Raheem basically reached out and was like, are you still fat? Like, are you fat? Are you out of shape? Like, well, what are we looking at here?
He's like, you're not fat and out of shape, are you? And as soon as he said that, I knew what was coming next.
I was like, send me a pic of your abs. Let me see what we got working. So, you know, Weddle was in shape. He was good. He is a freak.
Football becomes who you are, right? So even though I haven't been playing football, I still train like I'm playing football, even though it was never even a remote possibility ever over the last year and a half, because I was pretty much set in my decision and very happy. This is by no means me having an itch or anything like that. It was just an opportunity of a lifetime, quite honestly. And knowing myself, knowing where I'm at physically, mentally, how great I feel, you know, I've lost some weight, I've taken some toll off my knees and back, and just, you know, I train like a madman. I mean, that's just who I am.
He's brilliant and has been a really good player. You know, we'll see how much he has left. Didn't need a ton. He's going to end up playing, you know, one game and then maybe another game and then maybe another game. So we'll see. And then maybe another game after that. But yeah, I mean, he's going to probably play tonight, and really a truly incredible story for the Rams.
Let's move to another one of the games that we saw. One of the, arguably one of the most dramatic that we've seen in the last couple of years, with the 49ers and the Cowboys coming down to the wire. Niners built the big lead, 13-0 early in this game. Cowboys come back, thanks in part to a Jimmy Garoppolo interception, but also because the 49ers were down two of their best players, not just on defense, but on their entire team, which of course is Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. Nick Bosa left earlier in the game with a concussion. Fred Warner late game with an ankle injury. Neither returned, although it looked like for a second that Warner was on the field late, although it looked like maybe he was just celebrating, which I guess is a good sign in and of right. itself. What's your understanding of those two guys and their availability moving forward this week?
You know, I was curious when the game was going to be, and there's all sorts of different things that, like, when it could be, because, you know, the Rams and Cardinals play Monday night, so then they can't play Saturday. So right. you're like, all right, well, that sort of sets the schedule. So that means that the 49ers probably play Saturday themselves, which they do. And the reason I say all this is because now they have 6 days to recover instead of seven. That's like a pretty big difference. So, you know, Nick Bosa is in the NFL concussion protocol, and, you know, it's impossible to tell how anyone's going to recover from a concussion. Everyone's different. Every player is different, and he has one fewer day. You know, the fact that teammates say he was like talking in the locker room, that's good, but it doesn't actually mean anything as it pertains to his recovery. So we'll see if he's able to practice on Tuesday. If he is, then he probably plays. If he's not, then it probably looks like he has an uphill battle. You know, Fred Warner aggravated a previous ankle injury. He's going to have tests today. He was on the sideline. He was watching. He was out there a little bit, I guess, celebrating. So that's a good sign. And, you know, in the playoffs, everyone plays, it seems like. If you have any sort of nagging injury, everyone plays. So, you know, hopefully he'll be out there for them. But we'll wait and see how his tests go today.
And if it's anything like the previous ankle injury, he, I think, missed a week and then was back out there the next week. So you know, maybe that bodes well that it wasn't a longer, though that you can never tell with the way.
Right.
That,
and also, like, it's such a slim margin between, like, you know, making a tackle for no gain or making a tackle for, you know, 3 yard gain. And, like, you know, is he fast enough to get in front of a ball carrier, or is he tackling him from the side? Like, I know these seem like small things, but when a guy's playing through an injury, like, this stuff really matters, you know?
Sure.
And then moving forward to the final game from Super Wild Card weekend on Sunday night, which was the Chiefs and the Steelers, essentially a blowout. Chiefs get the win. I mean, here's the question. Like, why does everyone seem to acknowledge and talk about this being Big Ben's last game except for him? Why are we at this point right now?
You know why. He's got to have the press conference. He's got to have the announcement. He's got to thank the fans. You know, it's like someone asked me last night, like, oh, is Ben going to, you know, firmly announce his retirement? And I'm like, no, of course not. He's going to send it out on Twitter. He's going to do a thing. And then he's going to do a separate thing where he's going to do a press conference. He's going to talk about how great Pittsburgh is and the fans and his teammates. And like, I know it's sort of like, I'm, you know, it's kind of whatever, but it's also okay because, you know, Peyton got that. I'm sure when Brady goes, he's going to get this.
But it just like, you know, the fact that he said it like 2.5 weeks ago and it just like we've been talking about it like it was going to be. And then it's you still got to kind of couch it with probably or expecting it to be, you know, the whole thing. I feel like got a little bit convoluted down the stretch and you're forcing guys to answer questions about this being your last game without you actually saying it's going to be your last game. You know, which makes it just a little confusing.
Yeah. And like this was sort of what it was like when Peyton in his last year was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And everyone knew he was retiring. And I remember I reported that he had been telling his close friends that this was his last game, which of course it was. And he was really mad. Like he was really mad because he wanted it to sort
Don't
of be
get
a
the sheriff upset now.
He was upset. According to sources, he was upset. Now he survived and ended up having a good game and a good post football life. So, I think he overcame it.
So, Ian, looking at the path forward for the Steelers at quarterback next year, gave Mason Rudolph a little money to remain. Dwayne Haskins, still a possibility as well. But more likely, we're going to see this team make a move in the draft for a quarterback earlier than we've seen probably, since they drafted Ben Roethlisberger in the first
round? Yeah, and, you know, there's a couple sizes. And by the way, the Steelers aren't alone in this. I mean, the Saints kind of had a similar situation where they had Drew Brees. Everyone knew he'd be retiring at some point, but didn't know when. And their backup plan, their replacement plan was, you know, Jameis Winston, and we'll see. They still had a great season this year considering, but, you know, Steelers could have drafted a first rounder over the last couple of years, but instead traded up, you know, traded a one to get a really dynamic linebacker. I mean, it's, you know, their plan from what I understand is give Mason Rudolph a shot and he's at his moments. Nothing flashy, but he's at his moments. Give Dwayne Haskins a shot. I know Mike Tomlin really likes him. And you know, it's sort of a resurrection project, but Mike Tomlin really likes him. And then go into the draft and look to take a guy high. Kenny Pickett was the name mentioned to me, if only because they got great research on him because he's from Pitt and they share a facility with him. I think they probably will end up drafting one high, putting it all together, going into the season saying, let them all compete and we'll see what happens. And, you know, I don't know that it's a foolproof plan, but I would also say that if any team can draft and develop, it's this team because they've probably been one of the best at it throughout, you know, several years.
Yeah, no question. And look, I love Kenny Pickett. I think he might be he's going to end up being my favorite quarterback in this class. But it's almost like it makes too much sense for that to happen.
Yeah, I will also say that people have known the last couple of years who the Steelers were taking. I mean, everyone knew they were taking Najee Harris last year and they still took him. So sometimes with the Steelers, it is kind of on the nose, you know?
Okay, in addition to quarterback uncertainty, we were talking about there with the Steelers, so much swirling around the 8 head coaching vacancies in the NFL right now, in addition to multiple GM vacancies as well. And now with the Cowboys and Patriots eliminated and their coordinators and coaches that have been getting these interview requests now really freely able to go and interview, things could really start to heat up. We'll get Ian's take on those moves and the potential moves to be made next. All right, back here with you on NFL Inside Report. Our NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport is still here with us. The Cowboys eliminated from postseason from the postseason in dramatic fashion last night.
Prescott takes off running the football. Whoa, I don't think this is going to work out.
It will. They'll be able to clock this. They were planned for it. It's down. Oh, my gosh.
The official gets in the way. The game's over.
Oh, my gosh.
The game is over.
Oh, he did.
Sure about the call, though.
Well, this is where you can't set your own ball as a center. You got to give it to the ref. Dak Prescott should have looked and found the ref. You can't give it to your center. Wow, I am livid if I'm a Cowboy fan and if I'm a Niners fan.
That's the end of the game. The game is over. The game is over, and San Francisco survives and advances.
Say what you want about the spike and all of the decisions that led up to that point, but the Cowboys are done. Their offseason begins now. Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore have been popular targets, interviewing or at least having requests with the Broncos, the Jags, the Dolphins, the Vikings for each one of them. How much uncertainty is there, though, considering the way things have unfolded now surrounding Mike McCarthy in Dallas? Ian, is there any reason to believe that there might be a real shakeup in Dallas?
You know, I haven't been given any reason to believe that. And until there's something real,
yeah,
until I get the sense that they are really considering making the change, I'll probably leave that there. I do understand why people are asking, because they have two really hot coordinators in the coaching trail, and it, you know, certainly seems like Dan Quinn's going to get a job, and the Broncos are really hot after him, and several other teams are, you know, I would say significantly interested. So there's probably a good chance he leaves. Kellen Moore also has a chance to leave. The really good offensive coordinator, one of the top offenses, or maybe the top offense in the NFL. So yeah. I get it. Obviously, there's a lot more a head coach brings than that, but you know, until I know for sure that they are considering something, I will probably leave it there.
Between those two guys, as of right now, it feels more likely that Dan Quinn is going to be the first one to get a job here. Although, I mean, there's certainly room for both of them with eight vacancies as it stands now.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dan probably gets one. And, you know, it's always interesting because everyone's like, oh, we got to find someone to fix the quarterback.
Right.
I'm like, yes, I know that is very important. But leading your team is more important. Finding a leader is more important. So I think Dan Quinn gets when he's a good leader, communicates with players, he relates to players. Kellen Moore doesn't have as much experience. You know, and the question, it's funny, it's like everyone says, like, you know, can you lead a room? And I'm like, well, he stands in front of the offensive room every day.
Yeah.
So, like, is it different if it's 30 and not 53 or 60? It's like, well, probably the same. So I think he's a good candidate, you know. Just because one play last night didn't work out doesn't mean necessarily that he's
terrible head coach. It's going to be a terrible head coach because the one play.
Exactly.
No, I'm with you. And look, in the limited sample size we got from watching them on Hard Knocks this past summer, I felt like Kellen Moore's not going to have any problem leading a room based on the way he led that offense. The Patriots also have some intriguing possibilities on their staff, certainly with Jerod Mayo, who has been kind of the hot name to follow on that staff this year with the amount of requests that he's getting. Does this feel like the year for Mayo, or, you know, seeing that he is relatively inexperienced here in the coaching world, obviously had a terrific career as a linebacker for the Patriots. Right. You feel like it's more likely that, you know, gets some interviews this year, but maybe in the next cycle or two that it's really more likely he gets a job.
I think he could get one. I'm not saying he will, but I think he could get one. Houston has some interest. There's several others. Interview with Denver middle of the week. You know, yes, his resume is a little bit thin, but like he's also got his resume as a player. So when everyone else was rising up in the coaching ranks, he was playing. So it's not like he's been sitting on the couch doing nothing. He's a young coach. He's extremely smart, as you know. He's a great leader. I know that some of the GM candidates and some of the places that are interviewing have him very high on their list. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, Chicago, Minnesota, the Giants, teams that are interviewing GM candidates, and then we'll also need to hire a coach. Like, he might get looks after that because so high on so many people's lists. So, yeah, I think he can get a job this year.
Bill Belichick was asked after the loss to the Bills whether he felt like he was going to be coaching next year, because this came from a couple of years ago, right? Where he said that kind of half-heartedly, perhaps, that he wouldn't be coaching into his 70s. I mean, obviously shows no signs of slowing down and said right. that it's accurate that he wants to be around. Is it? I mean, was that a crazy question to ask? Or no. Are we getting near the end here, does it feel like?
I mean, it's like Brady. Yeah. It's like at some point he'll retire.
Right.
You know, it's like, how long are you going to do it? But, I haven't heard anything about Belichick stepping down. And I think one thing, I think he would like to do is either win another, obviously would like to win another one, but I think he'd like to leave it back where it was, leave it back to where you're competing every single season for championships and all that. So, and this was, this was a great season for the Patriots. They spent a lot in free agency. They got a rookie quarterback. It's rare that rookie quarterbacks actually lead teams to the playoffs. Mac Jones did. I would say it's not crazy, but I don't think he's done yet. And I haven't seen him slow down at all. And that's one great thing is he's got a great system going. He's got a really good staff. He's got his sons there. He's got a good personnel department run by Dave Ziegler, who shook some things up this year and did a really nice job. A great draft. I don't see any reason why he would leave.
Is that at all related to the lack of interview requests that we've seen come Josh McDaniels' way? Considering he's been one of the hottest candidates, obviously almost got that Colts job, could have had it, I guess, and then didn't. Is there any sense that McDaniels is, again, just waiting for his potential opportunity in New England, and that's why the requests aren't coming?
No, I think where he's at now, he's not just going to take anything. And, I don't know. I mean, if a team wants to go hire him, I think they'll probably know that going in. So my guess is he's not getting requests because people know that he's, how many times are you going to do this? How many times are you going to go through the same sort of thing?
Right.
So I think it'll be, if he gets a job, which I hope he does, because I think it'll be very good, it'll be more targeted. It'll be like a team's going to go through the process and they'll interview him knowing that, like, he's probably the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes some sense there as well. But as of right now, no interview requests there. And then as you're looking at these openings, these head coaching openings and the GM openings, is there one that's kind of starting to heat up at all? Is there anything? I mean, do you expect somebody to get filled this week? Are we in that kind of timeline yet here? Now that we're about a week removed from most of these openings happening.
Well, I would say the Giants are doing their final two GM interviews today. So I don't know if we'll get one this week, but we'll probably know who's coming in for second interviews later today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Vikings and Bears will probably go through the week. I think we're kind of a ways away. So you'll probably get a couple. But I think next week will probably be when the bulk of these jobs will end up getting filled. And of course, some of it, the Cowboys losing probably helped because those guys could take jobs.
Right.
But, Todd Bowles winning means he can't take a job at least until next week. So, and then Nathaniel Hackett, who's a hot candidate, he plays this weekend. If he wins, then it won't be a nut till another week. So, this is a long process. And I think we're kind of still in the middle of it or at the beginning of it.
Yeah, it's safe to assume though that the teams that already have GMs in place are in a better spot to make that head coaching hire now or at least soon rather than those teams like the Vikings and the Bears and the Giants that are still looking for GMs.
Yeah, I mean it also has to do with are your candidates playing still?
Right.
It's just random. Now you can do the thing where it's like sources say this team is targeting this coach who's in the playoffs, and everyone knows like, all right, that means they're going to hire him eventually. We're still sort of a ways away from some of that.
All right. Ian Rappaport with the latest, in and around Wild Card Weekend and the coaching carousel. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks, man. Always fun.
And that's going to do it for this episode of NFL Inside Report. Reminder to download, rate, review our show on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We certainly appreciate it. Back with you for two more episodes later this week on Wednesday and Friday ahead of the divisional round of this year's postseason. For producers Thomas Warren and Tim Perochka, I'm your host, Rhett Lewis. We'll catch you next time. NFL Inside Report is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more official podcasts from the NFL, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.